Everybody, welcome to episode 17 of 13 o'clock. And because we're kind of being topical, Rogue One is coming out this week and we're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, been waiting to see what this, I think this was going to be good. I liked Force Awakens. I know that was kind of controversial. I mean, it was a success at the box office, but there's like some whining, you know, some people will whine about, yeah, about Force Awakens, you know, but I own the movie on Blu-ray. I've watched it a million times, and I've been a long-time Star Wars student. I actually study it, all right? I love it. I think it's a lot like mythicism. If you look at our show at Bob Price, you know, Dr. Robert Price, you'll see that there's a lot of parallels with Star Wars and religion. It is a religion. It's a bunch of religious fables.
Yeah, basically.
Right.
So in case you hadn't figured it out, we're doing a Star Wars-themed episode. We're just kind of have, you know, kind of sort of a rambling discussion about it. Maybe about, you know, kind of the philosophical background of the Force and maybe like what we think is going to happen.
Whether or not the Force is real, or if it's true, if it's based on anything,
or like
which it is.
General story themes and stuff like that. So we're just going to have a fun hour-long
discussion
about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And
the fan geeks will love it.
I wanted to say something about The Force Awakens too. Now, I know, okay, like, I'm not one of these people. Like, I'm super into Star Wars, probably not, you know, as hardcore as some of the other people, but I really do like Star Wars, and I've seen them like a million times. And I understand how some people kind of bitched about Force Awakens. Oh, it was just like New Hope, blah de blah. Well, two things. One, I'm kind of not the kind of person that just likes to shit on everything to make myself sound cooler.
And there's a lot of those.
Which
nowadays.
I think there's a lot of that. That's just like, I'm just going to bitch about it, especially if something that's well liked or popular or whatever.
They have to find something wrong with it.
They're like, I'm just going to nitpick and, you know, just shit on it for, you know, because I think it makes me sound smarter or what have you. So I don't really like that. But also, I really, really liked The Force Awakens. Yes, it had parallels with A New Hope. But honestly, that's kind of the whole point of the Star Wars universe is I didn't see it so much as like a remake, you know, quote unquote, of A New Hope as it was like a variation on the same theme.
Well, they had to resurrect the franchise, if that's what you
Yes, after that. And now I will shit on the prequels because I did not like those.
I only partially shit on the prequels.
Revenge of the Sith was okay.
Yeah, they got better as they went along.
Yeah. Not enough Darth Maul, though.
The problem was is I just got so sick of George Lucas talking down to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's
And it, too. I think that George Lucas's problem in the prequels, particularly, I think he focuses on the wrong things.
He wants these to be kids' movies, and most of the fans were not kids who were watching this, you know.
Yeah.
They grew up, and they wanted to see how the story, you know, where the, they wanted to see where the Star Wars trilogy came from.
Yeah.
And these people were in their 30s and 40s by that time, most of them, so.
Yeah, so, yeah,
wrong
I definitely.
Demographic.
Right, I think he was aiming for the wrong thing, and like I said, focusing on the wrong thing.
Jar Jar Binks and all the slapstick and the bad humor and
which, you know,
they didn't look like Star Wars movies to me.
Yeah, they kind of look like video games or cartoons, really, because of all the horrible CGI, which is, you know, why I liked Force Awakens, because it largely went back to practical effects, and I thought it looked great. I mean, it looked, everything looked dirty and used, everything was actually there, which was nice.
Yeah.
And, like I said, I think, and the narrative of Force Awakens was very streamlined, you know, it was very lean, it didn't have all this bloated bullshit in it that we didn't need.
And it still had a lot of the symbolisms and the throwbacks, you know, which we can get into later.
Yeah, and the characters were likable.
The characters were likable. Some people didn't like Starkiller Base, which I can understand that.
Yeah, but, bigger Death Star, I get that.
But even Han Solo pointed that out. So they made a bigger one, so what? You know.
Well, because we were discussing this too, it's like, yeah, it can kind of feel like, oh, here we go again. But then in some way, I mean, once you've built a Death Star, which is essentially a planet that you can just drive around and shoot other planets with, I mean, it's hard to top that except by making it larger.
Yeah.
I mean, what else are you going to do, really? I mean, you know.
Well, I think they also had to recapture the original charm and ebb and flow of A New Hope, which that was what episode four.
Yeah.
And that was one way to do it. And the very first line of the movie was Max von Sydow saying, this will begin to make things right.
Yeah.
And I think that's
like
what
that,
they were
I like that, because that was kind of cheeky. That was pretty cool.
So they wanted to give you a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And it did have some good twists in it.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked the Kylo Ren character. I thought that its depiction of how the dark side works and everything is pretty interesting. And it fits, I think, the source material. And the source material that they're talking about really is European interpretations of Buddhism, which would start with Arthur Schopenhauer and Friedrich Nietzsche, which is Buddhism and anti-Buddhism, if you've ever read any of that stuff. And, you know, the dark side of the Force, or the Force, really could be equated with Nietzsche's concept of the will to power. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that later. I don't know. But
yeah, well, kind of the whole concept of the Force. And actually, George Lucas, going back to when the first movies came out back in the 70s, I mean, he's kind of on record as saying that he was absolutely, I mean, with the Force in particular, trying to create essentially a secular religion based around a combination of different religions. You got your Buddhism, you got your Taoism, you got Zoroastrianism.
And then the Germanic philosophy.
And Germanic philosophy, and also a little bit of medieval chivalry type stuff with the way the Jedis were. I mean, the only difference being, you know, the whole concept of yin-yang.
Right.
You know, dark side of the Force, light side of the Force. Now, in Taoism, there's no judgment. There's no like evil, you know, both of the forces need each other and they need to be in balance.
They're different interpretations of each other. Right. Actually.
Whereas I think Star Wars kind of goes more on the line of like, yeah, the dark side is bad. But, I don't know. I think they might be a little uneven with that, because sometimes it seems like, yeah, the dark side is bad. It must be defeated. But then in other movies and in other storylines, they're kind of like, well, there needs to be a balance to the Force, which to me kind of suggests that you can't have all good,
and
quote
you can't
unquote,
have all
and
evil.
You can't have all bad. The light and the dark have to balance each other out. Which, you know, how, I which don't that, know, that how brings, does that play out?
Well,
really?
that brings me to Snoke.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. And we definitely wanted to talk about this.
Yeah. All right. I'm convinced based on the story arc of all the movies that Snoke is Darth Plagueis the Wise.
He better be. I'm going to be mad if he's not.
Now, Darth, okay, in Buddhism and in, okay, the best way to probably put it being the Germanic philosophies, you know, which would be Friedrich Nietzsche, there is the concept of a light side and a dark side, but the ultimate goal of any of this type of philosophy is to actually go beyond good and evil.
Right.
To where good and evil are just really just tools that you use to serve a higher function, okay? And if you look at whenever, it could be equated to kind of like in Buddhism, the idea of the middle path, where it's not good and it's not evil, it's neutral. But it's a neutral power that can use both sticks and carrots to make things happen. So whenever they talk about Snoke or Darth Plagueis the Wise, you'll notice in the soundtrack, it's that same music.
Yeah.
And the music is just one big, long, deep ohm. Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is like, it's the power to actually transcend good and evil. And, well, they talk about it what am I trying to say?
Well, you were talking about
Darth Plagueis the Wise is first introduced in a parable, which we should probably include that parable. It's called The Tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise.
And this was from Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith.
It was a conversation between Anakin and Palpatine.
Yeah,
Darth
let's
Sith.
Let him hear that. Okay. So
okay.
Play that.
Okay, so I'm going to play that right now. Okay. Here it is.
You ever hear The Tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
No.
I thought not. It's not a story the Jedi would tell you. It's a Sith legend. Darth Plagueis was a dark lord of the Sith, so powerful and so wise, he could use the Force to influence the midichlorians to create life. He had such a knowledge of the dark side, he could even keep the ones he cared about from dying.
He could actually save people from death.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
What happened to him?
He became so powerful. The only thing he was afraid of was losing his power, which eventually, of course, he did. Unfortunately, he taught his apprentice everything he knew. Then his apprentice killed him in his sleep. It's ironic. He could save others from death, but not himself.
Is it possible to learn this power?
Not from a Jedi.
Okay, now you've heard it. What he's talking about says that Darth Plagueis was a dark lord of the Sith that was so wise and so powerful that he could use the Force to influence the midichlorians to create life. He could even save those from death, people that he cared about. And then later on it said he could cheat death. Well, this isn't one power. You know, Anakin thinks that's one power, but this is actually three.
Yes.
He can create life, he can keep people from dying, and he can cheat death. All right. Now, creating life, I believe that he actually created Anakin Skywalker.
Right.
All right. I believe that he created Anakin Skywalker as a replacement for Darth Sidious. When Darth Sidious realized he was going to be replaced with a new student, Darth Sidious killed Darth Plagueis. And then hid or ended up stealing Anakin Skywalker, the creation of Darth Plagueis, to take on as his own student. And he used him as, I guess, a plant inside the Jedi Order to get rid of the Jedi Order. And then the third thing is this cheating death. All right. If you look at Snoke, it looks like he's a corpse, an animated corpse who survived a mortal wound.
Yeah, he has a big dent in his head like something was. Right.
Now, there's a good analogy with somebody coming back to life. That'd be like vampires or the Christian concept that someone could be so evil they could come back from the dead.
Right.
All right. Well, you might say, well, how do they do that? Well, you see in Force ghosts, you know, with people on the life side, maybe a Force ghost can come out and then heal a body or repair it and then repossess it. You know? A lot of times these guys, you know, they'll show you stuff in a lot of different movies, and even the writer doesn't seem to know what it is they're talking about. Let's talk about the dark side. If you look at the dark side and the Force, it's always about channeling. Obi-Wan said that when you were using the Force, it flowed through you. In other words, it channeled.
Yeah.
You were channeling it. It partially controlled your actions, but also it responded to what you wanted.
Yeah.
All right. Then that's the way a light side Force user feels. Well, a dark side Force user, it would be the same thing. It's partially controlling him, and he is partially controlling it. You're channeling this dark side energy. Well, when they show him doing this, man, their eye color changes. They objects move around them. This is like possession, very similar to demonic possession. You're channeling like an evil spirit in a way.
Right.
Well, that's kind of like what you see in The Exorcist. That's kind of like what you saw in the movie Firestarter or Carrie. It's like they're channeling an evil force. What they're talking about basically is like poltergeist phenomenon, but it's like induced through mental disciplines and will and surrender to the dark side. Quite interesting. It is very paranormal, you know, and rooted in ancient legend and parapsychology also, in a way. A lot of things that they talk about, you know, how a Jedi has really good reflexes and they can do all that. Well, that's just, you know, there's a lot of people who are like that, you know, where they're kind of right hemisphere dominated to where, for instance, what they're talking about, let's say you knock a glass off of a table unexpectedly and you catch it before it hits the ground. Well, when that happens, you don't decide to catch that glass. It just happens before you even think about it because your subconscious is allowed to, you know, take over your body.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that talked about in the Force are actually things that kind of happen in real life.
Yeah.
If you follow the story arc, you know, you see people who are good with mechanics, mechanical things, physical sports and all that they can get a greater affinity towards the Force. They're physical.
Yeah.
And they're allowing light side energies and dark side energies to channel.
And in that context, I definitely do think that Han Solo is a Force user, and I don't think he was aware of it until later. I think it was implied in The Force Awakens that he had realized it.
You're right.
But I think even before he realized, like, even in the first series, the first trilogy, when he was like, oh, he thought it was mumbo jumbo and stuff, he was still using it. I mean, he
was doing things that are impossible. He was talking his way out of, trying to talk his way out of trouble all the time. Almost kind of like the Jedi mind trick.
Yeah.
He could actually time a landing approach at the speed of light.
Yeah.
And end up inside of a planet's atmosphere. Close to,
he did that in The Force Awakens. Yeah. And in The Force Awakens, he shot a guy without turning around.
Yep.
He just like shot him behind his back and got him.
Because he just let it flow.
Yeah.
And that's the way a lot of skilled people who are very adept and have what's called physical intelligence, that's the way they are.
Yeah.
And even Han Solo himself said something along the lines of, can you really do that? And he goes, I don't ask myself that until I've already done it.
Yeah. And that is a very, I mean, that was his particular manifestation of the Force. Like I said, he's not a Jedi, obviously, he's never been trained, but he does have that affinity.
Right.
I mean, I thought they made that pretty clear.
Well, they also make it pretty clear that you don't have to be a Jedi to use the Force.
Right, exactly.
Maz Kanata evidently knew about the Force. She said she knew all about the Force, but she was not a Jedi.
Yeah. And I mean, it seems like that was kind of the cool thing about it is that, I don't know. Like I said, this is sometimes a little uneven because sometimes it seems like, oh, you know, they have to be Jedi, they have to be Sith, whatever. But I like the idea of the Force just being this thing that kind of anyone can have access to.
Yeah.
And some people have to practice at it. Some people are just naturals.
Right.
But
to get good with the Force, you had to hone it.
Right.
And the Jedi and the Sith did it in two different ways. The Sith did it kind of like gladiatorial combat.
Right.
To where you get a guy using the Force, you put him under a lot of stress and pain and a lot of hard training, and then you take things away from him to make him meaner or to make him have envy and all the dark side elements, and that would create a Sith that would have a certain attributes that you need to provide a function. And because they're dangerous, they're not free. And you can only have one. If you were a master, you can only have one. Now, if you trained another one in secret, eventually you'd want these two badasses to fight each other. And the surviving one would be the one that you would choose. So they're talking about an order, a natural order. And a lot of that is referred to in the stories a lot. And the natural order is just the order of survival of the fittest.
Right.
And that's what the dark side is all about. So in other words, it's about nature and the dark side of nature, which is kill or be killed, prey and predator, the strong ruling over the weak, blah, 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 blah. And Nietzsche talked about that a lot. And so a lot of things that you see the Sith doing are kind of spelled out in some of Nietzsche's philosophy, or at least the beginning parts of it. Now, later on, it looks like Snoke is trying to get out from that. See, because there's limitations for evil is limited, but so is good. Good can be limited also in what they can do. So Snoke seems to be trying to defy that. Because remember, he was wise. You know, Darth Plagueis was wise. He wasn't stupid. And there's a lot of stuff a lot of the things that they show Sith doing or can be interpreted as kind of dumb.
Yeah.
You know, kind of limiting. For instance, like, when Vader was in charge of generals and when Darth Sidious was around and in charge of generals with inside the Empire, the Imperial forces, when they failed, they just killed him.
Yeah.
All right. But you don't see Snoke doing that. You know, when his generals are failing, you know, you go, I'm sorry I failed you. You just silence. He didn't worry about it. Just let's move on. Okay, recall the troops. That type of stuff.
Yeah.
So, it's obvious that when you're beyond good and evil, you're using discipline. You're not letting emotions run away with you.
Yeah.
Trying to achieve logic and balance.
Because honestly, that's why, I mean, the Sith are kind of like, that's what fuels their power, is their emotions. Almost like they can't control their emotions.
Right.
Anger.
They're unleashing fear. Anger, but they're not controlling it that way.
Right. And I think that was actually, a lot of people bitched about Kylo Ren, but I really liked the fact that they were showing a character who was essentially trying to gain power by reining in his emotions, but he wasn't quite getting there.
Right.
And you could even see that, you know, the lightsaber he made, which was all crackly and crazy, and yeah. He would have, like, you know, temper tantrums and stuff, yeah. Essentially. Until he got to the point where he killed his father.
As a sacrifice.
Right. I think that, you know, and the, you know, sun went out.
Right.
You know, saying, you know, the dark side has taken over now. I think, and he kind of got this sort of calm.
Or you might be able to interpret it as he's conquering the dark side.
Yeah, that could be it.
He had a bunch of dark side frustration that he couldn't hold in, you know what I mean? So he would throw temper tantrums and destroy stuff. And then he'd go, wait a minute, hold on, nope. You know, and then he would come back and says, he'd be calm after that, remember?
Yeah.
Like he was trying to actually transcend anger.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's exactly what he was trying to do.
And when he sacrificed his father, he didn't do it from anger. He did it from indifference, like enlightened indifference, to be totally neutral and cold. That Han Solo is just another enemy.
Yeah, I have no connection to him.
That's right. I have no connection to him, and he has nothing to do with the way I feel. And it did it first. You know, you can see there was a lot of emotion in him. But I think he did it just from a cold-blooded, where it's just a methodical. No emotions, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
And then they showed the sun blacking out and all that. So I think what you saw is not a guy transforming or turning into a Sith. What you saw was a Sith transforming away from a Sith
to something beyond
good and evil. Right.
Which is, like I said, at the end, you know, Snoke he's going to take Kylo Ren away to quote unquote complete his training. So,
right.
You know, maybe he's going to do the same thing. He's going to teach him to be just like beyond all of that.
Yeah, beyond
emotion.
Which,
like you said, that's indifference.
Indifference.
You know.
And it's like a dark indifference.
Right.
That's why you had that, you know, the soundtrack of Snoke and Darth Plagueis the Wise is just just this kind of sinister ohm, this nothing, zero, you know.
Yeah.
That's what ohm was all just about, clearance, to clear all emotion from your mind.
Yeah, to have no attachments, emotional attachments.
The ability to have something and then just throw it away without any, you know, regard.
Which, interestingly, the Jedi also have a form of that.
Although
theirs is not malicious necessarily. Uh-oh. But I mean, to become a Jedi, and the reason that Anakin turned was because of his emotional attachments.
Right.
Which in a way is telling you that even the good emotions, like love,
right,
for example, are kind of getting in the way of your... So, you know, the Jedi and the Sith, two sides of the same coin, obviously.
Yeah.
But both trying to reach the same goal, really. Right.
Yeah, well, you have the Jedi and their detachment from things.
Yeah.
In an attempt to serve an ultimate kind of good.
Yeah.
Well, that same detachment can be used to serve kind of an ultimate darkness.
Yes.
That's like a psychopath or a sociopath.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't feel anything. I don't give a shit. And now I have a power because I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I now have an advantage that I can use. You know, yeah. I'm not hindered by the dark side and its anger. I'm not hindered by the light side and its, I guess you could say, its, the dark side always needs to be kind of compassionate. You don't need any of that. I'm just going to get what I want by not giving a shit.
Yeah.
And just doing what I want.
Yeah.
So that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to take our little break right now. And then when we come back, I kind of want to talk a little bit about Darth Vader and his relationship to Palpatine.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Project Entertainment Network presents Buttercup of Doom with your host, Kelly Owen. Just a girl. A girl who writes horror and thriller fiction, talks to bugs, jumps in puddles, and now hosts a weekly podcast full of opinions, advice, and a touch of gypsy wisdom. Whether it's current affairs or social media nightmares, join me as I rant and rave and offer up a big old bucket of common sense. Wednesdays on Buttercup of Doom.
Bizarre.
It's Bizarre, the Bizarre and Weird Fiction Podcast. Hosted by me, Mr. Frank. Bizong is the showcase podcast of the bizarro fiction genre. And those who write weird and read weird are going to love this podcast, where each week we talk to everyone who is anyone in the bizarre and weird fiction realm. So join us here every Monday, presented exclusively by Project Entertainment Network.
If you're into cosplay, corsetry, steampunk, gothic, or rockabilly clothing, shoes, and accessories, then you must visit Subculture Corsets and Clothing, either online at www.subculturecorsets.com or drop by their store at the Avenues Mall in Jacksonville, Florida, located a half mile off I-95. Tell them you heard their ad on Project Entertainment Network and the 13 O'Clock Podcast and receive a 10% discount off your entire purchase. Or when checking out on their website, use the discount code 13 o'clock and receive a 10% discount on your entire order. And if you're a full-figured girl, don't worry. Subculture carries sizes 4 through 4X, and they have men's clothing as well. That's subculturecorsets.com and use discount code 13 o'clock for a 10% discount. Go check out their website now, subculturecorsets.com, or when traveling through Jacksonville, Florida, stop in and check out their store at the Avenues Mall.
Hey everyone, there's a brand new podcast starting on December 1st, the Dead TV Podcast, where we take shows from the horror industry that have been canceled or ended and review them episode by episode, starting with Kindred the Embraced and Constantine, and you'll have to stick around to see what the third show that we're doing immediately after those. Joining me for this amazing new podcast is Mistress Zeneca.
Hello everyone, thanks for having me.
Mistress Zeneca is an event hostess of kinky, geeky, and sexy parties around the Philadelphia area. She has a flair for the dramatic and is passionate about zombies. She also teaches on a wide variety of BDSM topics, including High Protocol. In fact, you can say she wrote the book on it, which you can find on her website, www.elegantlykinky.com.
Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here. Chris is a longtime horror fan and turned that love of horror into an almost decade-long radio show called Radio of Horror. He wrote a children's Halloween book in 2012 called Give Me Something Good to Eat and has a comic book forthcoming where he gender swaps the entire cast of Dracula. Looking forward to that. On the side, he also makes short horror films in Massachusetts, so how could I say no?
And you can get all the updates about our podcast on our Facebook page, The Dead TV Podcast, and eventually a forthcoming Twitter page as well. So stay tuned for the first episode coming December 1st.
There are terrors, real and imaginary, and I write about them all. Paranormal nonfiction, horror fiction, the Rochdale House Poltergeist, the Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist, the Associated Full Monsters, Red Menace, the Tenebrae Bellwether. Go to www.jennyashford.com or search Amazon for the Jenny Ashford author page.
Okay, Darth Vader, you have a theory, and I think I've read this in other places too, so maybe you're not the only person that has this, but you have a theory that Darth Vader, once he was made into a cyborg, essentially,
yeah,
he would not have been able to live on his own without Palpatine.
No.
Palpatine, who was a Sith, mm-hmm. was keeping Darth Vader alive.
Yeah.
Rather like, and actually when you were talking about Darth Vader a little bit earlier, it kind of occurred to me, and this actually never occurred to me before, even though it's kind of a duh moment. Darth Vader is essentially like Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
And I think I thought that when you said that maybe Anakin had been created.
Yeah.
You know, using the midichlorians, which I know a lot of people think is dumb, but I think it was kind of, you know, an interesting way to kind of tie genetics into all of it.
His midichlorian count was so high that it was not natural.
Yeah. Okay. So we're essentially operating that he's kind of like Frankenstein's monster.
Right. And what you had, and he was stolen from its creator.
Yeah.
And it's got to be, you know, they wouldn't have told us these stories if it isn't what I
if
think.
It didn't, yeah, if right. it didn't make.
So you have Anakin Skywalker. He's unknowingly a plant. okay, to bring down the Jedi Order. He sells his soul to his new Sith master. He wants the power to cheat death and to keep people from dying, all right? He wants that power, and he wants to use it to save Padme. But his master is pretty evil, and he can defeat that. He's not going to let him have his wife. You know, that's going to stand in the way. And he's not going to allow Anakin to be stronger than he is. So he's going to send him on a bunch of missions that get him hurt, nearly killed, and then he's going to reduce him and weaken him and reduce him into something that he can control and something that is totally dependent on him. So he goes out, and I think it's what's called Mustafa, I think was the name of the planet, where he got burned up and burned his lungs out. And there's a scene where the Emperor finds him, and he's still there, kind of like a smoldering ruins. He goes, oh, good, it's not too late. And then he kneels down, and you see him put his hand over his chest, and then it cuts away. Well, I believe that what he did was is he started to use the Force to keep people he cared about from dying, something that he learned from Snoke or Darth Plagueis. And then they put him in a suit that had an iron lung in it. And then when he wakes up, he tells him, no, your wife's dead. You killed her. You know, yeah. Which, of course, increases his frustration and his self-guilt, which causes him to get stronger with the dark side, because self-hatred is a power into itself.
Yes.
If you hate yourself, you'll be able to do all kinds of crazy shit and be able to live with it, because you don't care if you live or die.
Right.
Which, that's a strength, you know. Not, you know, it makes you a kamikaze or a what do you call it, an extremist, you know. And an extremist can get shit done if you want to destroy stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I believe he was not only being kept alive by the suit, I believe he was being kept alive by dark side energy coming off of his master.
Yes.
The Emperor. So not only was he a cyborg Frankenstein, in a way he was also kind of like a parasitical vampire, I guess you could say, in a way, a vampire that needed to feed, or maybe a zombie. But I'd probably more closer analogy would probably be a vampire. He's a vampire in a Frankenstein, but he can only feed off of his master.
And we're basing that on the assumption that, I mean, when Darth Vader is dying at the end...
Well, they give you two hints.
Yeah.
They give you two hints. Luke tries to get Vader to turn against his master, all right, and help destroy the Emperor. And Vader says, you don't understand the power of the dark side. I cannot betray my master. And he meant that literally.
He right. Can't.
He can't. And then later on, when he did betray the master, and he betrayed the master in an act of atonement, okay. Okay, you remember Anakin's fall to the dark side involved a choice. Should he defend evil and betray his Jedi master to serve himself? Or should he be selfless and allow his Jedi master to destroy evil? He chose to betray Mace Windu.
Yes.
And that was his fall. Okay, and he did it for selfish purposes. Later on, he's given the exact same choice again. All right. Should he betray his master of evil, or his evil master, to save his good son, all right, at the expense of his own life, or should he allow his evil master to destroy his good son and stay alive? So he chose the opposite. He chose to die saving his son, who was doing something good. And that's how he got atonement. And that's why you see him as a Force ghost later.
Yes, all redemption. Right. That was redemption, his redemption.
Right. So he's given the same choice twice. And the second one, he chooses the light side. Okay. Now, where was I? Okay. Now, after he makes that decision, all right, Luke says, Vader tells Luke, please take this mask off. You know, I want to see my son. He goes, but if I do, you'll die. He said, nothing can stop that now.
Yeah.
Nothing.
The Emperor was dead.
The Emperor was dead.
So he was going to die. Nothing that was going to keep him.
Some kind of Force link. All right. Between the, he had a Force link between the two of the dark side. The Emperor kept him alive. And that's what kept the Emperor alive. Because if he had a student that was as strong as the original Anakin, he would have killed him. Anakin would have killed his master. See, the whole idea between Sith master and Sith apprentice is that It's the master's job to teach the apprentice only what he needs to know to serve the master. Okay? The apprentice's job is to become as strong as he can and eventually kill his master and take his place, which would be the natural struggle for survival.
So they're kind of at cross purposes.
They're at cross purposes. The apprentice is always a slave to the master.
Right.
This is not a friendly relationship.
No.
Even though the emperor calls Vader, and I think it was in Empire Strikes Back, his friend, or actually it was Return of the Jedi, he calls him his friend, but he says it in a way to let you know that friend on the dark side doesn't mean exactly the same thing as friend means for normal people.
Yeah. I mean, because the whole point of the dark side is I got mine, fuck everyone else.
Yeah.
You're just out for yourself looking out for number one. That's the whole point of the dark side.
Yeah.
And that's one of the only things that distinguishes the dark side from the light side. At least light side will die to save their compatriots or whatever. The dark side of and Sith will not.
And Darth Sidious, in a certain way, makes fun of Darth Plagueis. He says the weakness of Darth Plagueis, that he was afraid of losing his power and losing all these powers that he had learned. So he did the wrong thing. He taught his apprentice all he knew. And then the apprentice killed him in his sleep. But I believe that he didn't kill him in his sleep. I believe that, Darth Plagueis survived the attack and resurrected himself.
And we don't think Darth Sidious knew that at the time. He thought he killed him.
Or he lied. Because remember, they lie.
True.
Sith lie.
Yeah.
This whole thing, that a good example is Vader tried to seduce Luke while he was hanging from that platform by saying, the Emperor has foreseen that you can overthrow him. Join me and we can rule the galaxy, father and son. Lie.
Yeah.
You're just appealing to Skywalker's possible lust for power, but he didn't have it.
Yeah.
All right. Another good example would be when Obi-Wan Kenobi was captured by Count Dooku. Count Dooku approaches him by, oh boy, I wish your master Qui-Gon was here. He would know what to do in these difficult times. He'd join me, He goes, oh, knock it off, dude.
Yeah, everyone's like, you really think I'm that dumb? Fuck off.
knock it off. And that's what, which I like how they put that in there, because I've known truly evil people in my time. Evil people lie.
Yeah.
They might have, when you look at Darth Vader, he's in that impressive black suit. His English is pretty cool. He's got a cool voice and everything. There's a certain amount of nobility to the way he carries himself. That fucker lies.
Yeah.
He broke the deal with Lando Calrissian regularly.
Immediately.
He just immediately. Wait a minute. I thought you said you were staying with me. And pray I don't. I just changed the deal.
He's like, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Lando?
Yeah,
come on.
Of course. Bring it. They lie and manipulate. And Obi-Wan said that early on. In in A New Hope, the very first episode, remember, he said he's more machine man, machine now than man, twisted and evil. And then I believe he said something about that lying was the way of the dark side. I think that was in the prequels, though.
Well, like I said, that's their whole thing. If they lie, if they can lie to get what they want, then they will.
Yeah.
And I mean, like you said, when you were saying before about Darth Sidious, now we're operating under the assumption, and I'm pretty sure this was pretty clear, Darth Sidious killed Padme.
Yeah, he did it with his mind.
Yeah, because he could do that kind of shit.
Right.
But he told Anakin that Anakin did it.
Sure, to make him feel guilty.
Which was, in a way, strengthening
his connection to the dark side with self-hatred.
Because Padme shouldn't have died otherwise. Yeah.
The robots said, we're losing her. We don't know why.
We don't know why, yeah. So Darth Sidious killed her.
He had learned everything or almost everything. I believe he learned everything, pretty much. Maybe not how to resurrect yourself, but he pretty much learned all the tricks from Darth Sidious.
Yeah.
And when he was a master of life and death, he could kill you by thinking about it.
Yeah.
Using the
Force. Which is exactly what he did with her.
And when you analyze what these Sith are about, basically what you're talking about is necromancers.
Yes.
Bringing people back from the dead, bringing themselves back from the dead. Killing people kind of like with the voodoo dolls in a way, but in their mind, they don't need the doll. They can just kill you by thinking about it.
Like scanners.
And evidently can create a living person by thinking about it and causing an immaculate conception.
Right.
So these guys were no joke. But evidently, Darth Plagueis the Wise didn't think that a Sith, the Sith philosophy was good enough to get it done. And a good example would be what Darth Sidious told Anakin. He says, look, you have to look at the Force in all of its aspects. You know, not just the light side, but the dark side. He probably learned this from Darth Plagueis, that being a Jedi was a limitation and being a Sith was a limitation. You have to be able to be masters of them both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit, too, about The Force Awakens and some of the stuff that kind of came to light during that. We are assuming, and I'm sure most people are assuming, that Rey is Luke's daughter.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense if it wasn't. Because of the lightsaber issue.
Right.
The lightsaber calling out to her.
Yeah.
I would say that was Luke's daughter.
Yeah. And we also maybe... We think probably Finn is related to somebody too, because maybe Lando.
I think it's Lando.
For the timeline. We thought Mace Windu, but that timeline doesn't add up right.
Right.
So it's got to be probably Lando. But we think maybe what happened... Because there had to be a reason for Finn to be the only stormtrooper
right
to have broken out of his conditioning.
Right. And it had something to do with Rey, and it had something to do with the Jedi. It leads me to believe that what ended up happening was that Luke started a Jedi school, and all the main leaders of the rebellion put their children in this school, which would have included Lando. And when the school started to fail, and when evidently a little civil war broke out, you know, inside the school with Kylo Ren and his Knights of Ren, you know, saying, no, fuck this, we're going to go to the dark side. It looks like the surviving children, their memories were erased and they were hidden in certain locations. That could have been that Kylo actually got his hands on Lando Calrissian's son and put him in his own army to keep an eye on him. But it seems to me that they've had Force or training.
Yeah.
And just the whole symbolism of Rey and Finn there with Maz Kanata offering a lightsaber. Basically, Maz Kanata ends up offering it to Rey and she says no. And then she offers it to Finn and he goes, yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it, you know. Which that kind of symbolism suggests to me that he also had Jedi training. Maybe that's what helped him subconsciously get out of his mental conditioning, and the Force just guided him into the rebellion and saving a captured pilot.
Yeah, because he had a similar thing. I mean, obviously, Rey is somebody, probably Luke's kid, because she, you know, just picked everything up. She was a natural, you know, stuff like that. But he kind of did too. It took him longer.
Yeah.
To pick up on things.
Well, if she's related to the Skywalkers, then she's going to have a bigger midichlorian count.
Yeah.
All right. And that Finn's is just going to be starting from the standpoint of a normal person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's just too unlikely that there's just this random black guy appears out of stormtroopers and becomes a hero closely associated with Rey, son of Skywalker. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Because nothing
happens, is by accident.
Yeah. And really, that's kind of the whole overarching theme of Star Wars, is that the Force is controlling, you know,
destiny.
Events. And it controls destiny people's and destinies. They kind of end up where they need to be. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Nothing is just random.
The idea that Finn is a random dude just undermines everything about the Star Wars lore.
Yeah. He's got to be somebody.
Yeah. And I'm going to say that's Lando Calrissian's son.
Because that would make
the
sense.
That makes sense. That makes the story so much cooler.
Yeah.
And Billy Dee Williams is still living, so he can actually appear in some films.
Which would be awesome.
Which would be
awesome.
Because
I did like Lando, even though, I mean, you know, I was kind of mad at him and when he
Lando had his
fucked
own,
over the...
Lando had his own Force kind of abilities.
Yeah.
He talked his way and could gamble his way into huge mining facilities and was slick and smooth. You know, he was kind of a counterpart to Solo.
Yeah.
You know, they were kind of birds of a feather.
Yeah.
So if Solo is being portrayed as being Force sensitive, I wouldn't say Force user, but Force sensitive, and he used it sometimes, then probably Calrissian was also.
But like I said, certain kinds of people, I don't, like you said, I don't necessarily want to call them Force users because I don't think they're doing it intentionally.
Well, that would, if you start talking about psychic phenomenon, that would, basically they're talking about average people. There are a lot of regular people that have weird premonitions and have abilities that they don't know about.
Yeah. And they don't have to think about it.
They don't have to think about it. It happens automatically.
Yeah. Because people have natural affinities and
natural affinities to things.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of what they're talking about with the Force. It's just kind of this.
Yeah. Now, the whole idea of the Force and the story is actually a lot of it had to do with Joseph Campbell, who was,
right,
who was George Lucas's teacher at UCLA. And I think he taught mythology. There's a lot of power in mythology, and it's this mythology is being retold in Star Wars in the same way it's being retold in other books, you know. Like, for instance, the Old Testament, you know, those are reboots of older stories. You know, just that's just an example. But all the characters in these stories are kind of a mythic quality characters. They're not real complicated, per se, but the story arcs are kind of complicated.
Yeah.
You know, like the Star Wars dialogue is not all that complicated. But very cool story arcs. Anything else you want to know?
Well, I was going to say, I think that's probably why Star Wars has resonated so much in the modern era.
Yeah.
Is because it's basically, you know, it's a callback to that kind of mythic...
religions.
Yeah, mythic religions and things like that, which I think, you know, human brains are kind of, you know, are kind of hardwired.
Yeah, and then there's just like, if you grew up at a certain time, and you know, I don't know what it's like for younger people, there's just something about some good shit, bad shit goes down, but the good guy comes through it and learns something about it, and then you hear that sound, wah, 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 wah. Oh, yeah, amen, yeah, that's what that's about, you know what I mean? You know, if you grew up with Star Wars, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And you know.
And religions were intended to be that way, but of course... they were dealing with, you know, books. They didn't have film as a media.
Yeah.
As a medium.
So, I said, maybe in a lot of ways, that's why it resonates a lot more with modern people, because it has that whole, that mythic quality.
Yeah. Now you can see it and the music is there.
And you can see the people. It's like seeing the gods up on, you know.
Now, I think the ancient religions did it also, you know, especially with Roman mystery cults, where they took their religion and they acted it out on stage.
Yes.
All right. And reenacted it with moving statues and actors and actresses and special effects. And there's some evidence that early Christianity, canon Christianity, the Christian cults in Rome probably also had plays on stage to reenact a lot of these things. Some of the stuff in the New Testament actually reads almost like a play.
Yeah, that's true. Know? Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm sure they acted out, you know, the three wise men and the baby Jesus. They probably acted that out. They probably also acted out the crucifixion.
Yeah.
You know, because that would have been pretty cool to see on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they still do it now. At Christmas time with the little manger and all
other,
that.
Other Roman religions did it, so we have to assume that Christianity did it too. In its various incarnations before the Catholics.
On the subject of Christianity, do you see a sort of parallel between Jesus and Anakin Skywalker?
No.
You don't?
No. What are the good parallels?
Other than, I mean, Anakin Skywalker, Immaculate Conception.
Oh, yeah, but those were common. Those were common throughout Greco-Roman religions. You know, all your demigods were born of other gods.
Yeah.
You know. So I would probably say closer to Greek gods.
Yeah.
Be like Hercules. You know.
Yeah.
But we have to assume that Anakin would have been kind of like an anti-Hercules. It would have, because Hercules' father was Zeus and he was father of the gods. And I would not call Darth Plagueis the Wise, the father of the gods. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So, he had a special creation, but I don't think it was from God. More like the Antichrist.
Yeah. Antichrist. That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, because, you know, Jesus was supposed to be a good guy.
Right, yeah. And
Although he wasn't really. He was kind of a dick at points.
I don't think Anakin Skywalker was intended to be a good guy. He was intended to be beyond good and evil.
Yeah.
A powerful, neutral force. To bring balance, they keep talking about that. Someone who could be, in other words, it would have been Nietzsche's version of the Antichrist or the Übermensch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point. Okay. Good.
Because Nietzsche wrote a book called The Antichrist, but that had a lot to do with political stuff, though, too. But more like Ubermensch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when we're talking about balance in the Force, what do you think that means? Like, in what sense is that? Because, like I said, Star Wars lore, generally Jedi are good guys, Sith are bad guys, you know, light side, dark side. But sometimes they make a lot of plays like, oh, there has to be balance.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Does that mean that we always have to have the bad guys? That there has to be an internal struggle between the two things? That one can't get more powerful than the other? They have to be just as powerful as each other.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a Buddhist concept. But I would say in Buddhist concept, a true balance in the Force would be enlightened indifference. In other words, neutrality.
Right.
Okay. But like I said, that could be interpreted as two different things. Peace or war.
Yeah.
Like you have a balance in the Force, so you don't do anything. You just sit there kind of peaceful. Or you have a total balance between good and evil, and you just do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Without any repercussions to yourself. Now, this is what I think. I have the theory. Darth Plagueis the Wise mastered life and death, could even bring himself back to life. All right. I have a feeling that what Darth Plagueis the Wise is trying to do is to become one with the Force. All right. Both the light side and the dark side, to become one with it and then run it from what you would call the Pleroma, which is run it from the afterlife. Okay. Now, if you become one with both aspects of it and become master of the Force in the afterlife, you could literally become God. That's the only thing that he's missing. Because in Star Wars lore, evidently the Force doesn't seem to have a will of its own. They're just energies.
Yeah.
And if you could become one with them in the afterlife and control them and become the king of them, then that would mean you'd be the king of the universe. You would be God. You could not only run the afterlife, but the material world, which that's the only thing I could see that he doesn't have. Snoke or Darth Plagueis the Wise doesn't seem to be concerned about money or political power. He seems to be concerned about something about the Force itself. And I think the ultimate goal would be to take over the Force.
Yeah.
And actually almost become God, basically. Basically, you're becoming God.
Yeah. That may be his final goal. Because like you said, you know, aside from the New Order, which... Are they really? I mean, they differ from the Empire in that it seemed like the Empire was trying to take shit over.
Yeah, they wanted material stuff and government power.
Yeah.
Which that's something the dark side would want.
Yeah.
All right. Which is material gain. Yeah. They wanted to live forever in the material world, too.
Right.
All right. That's what Darth Sidious wanted. He wanted immortality on Earth.
Yeah.
Leads me to believe that his original master, Darth Plagueis the Wise, didn't want that. He wanted eternal life in the afterlife as the master of the dark side and the light side of the Force, which would make you master of the physical realm also.
Yeah.
Whatever you wanted could come into existence in the material world. You'd be God.
Yeah.
Which, why would you care about political power? Why would you care about money? Why would you care about any of that if you could become God?
Yeah. Because like you said, Snoke does not really seem to care.
No, this is a religious...
Their planet got blown up and he's like, yeah, well, you know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Let's go.
We got shit to do. Let's go.
Right.
But, and I was going to say, too, that might be the reason he's trying to transcend it. Because, honestly, in the material world, I feel like there could never be balance between good side of the Force, bad side of the Force, because the evil side of the Force is always going to try and encroach. They're always going to be trying to take over shit. They're always trying to, you know, and it can't just be a thing where, well, we're going to be good over here and you guys can be evil over there. That's just never going to work out. I'm sorry.
Well, the Buddhists called it the wheel of suffering.
Yeah.
Okay. Which that's kind of another story. You can sometimes be illustrated as the yin-yang symbol.
Right.
Where you have good and creation and destruction endlessly chasing each other.
Yeah.
All right. And that's what the material world would be.
Yeah.
And Buddhists we're trying to always get out of the wheel of suffering. In other words, be outside of the chain of creation and destruction, birth and rebirth. Either we wanted to even be outside reincarnation. They wanted to be in a perfect state of being, which was actually nothingness, really, in a way.
Well, that's what nirvana is, that's right? What nirvana it's a state of nothingness.
Which a Jedi would want that, but a Sith would go, hell no, if you want nothing, then, you know, what kind of a man are you? You know, that's not the proper response to things.
Yeah, because the dark side's whole thing is ambition.
Yeah, ambition and wanting to control everything. Which, I guess you could say to a certain extent, you know, a negative, kind of the negative aspects of nirvana would be, yeah, I don't want anything, but I want everything simultaneously. I just want to be God.
Yeah.
I want to run this. I want to be a master of this.
Yeah.
Which, that's what I think's happening.
Which, like we said, that might be what... If it's not, I think Tom should write the next Star Wars
movie. Yeah, I'll write it. Because, I'll write the next one.
Because you have good ideas. And
Snoke is Darth Plagueis of the Wise, and he's basically trying to become God.
Yeah.
Become one with the Force and master the Force and its dark side, and which would make him God.
Yeah. Which, like I said, I like that idea, and if they're not going to do that, then I'm upset, and they need to call
him. It wouldn't make him God. It would make him the Greek concept of the demiurge, which is God as the devil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going back to the Pleroma, mastering the Pleroma, and becoming the demiurge.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I like it.
Yeah. Which is not a Christian concept. It's more of a Greek Gnostic type of God, you know, Greek Gnosticism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Demiurge. The God devil.
Disney, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Call him up. He's available.
He can they probably help know. It looks like it's going in that direction anyway.
Well, I hope so. I hope we're not reading too much into it. We're such nerds about this. But, you know, it's kind of cool. Like I said, it's a whole mythology. You can read all this oh shit into it and stuff like that. And I really like the direction it's going. Yeah. I like the direction that you're thinking it's going. And I really do hope it goes
well. Well, just by me analyzing the writing, they're not pulling this out of their ass.
Well, no.
And I know that Joseph Campbell was originally involved in it. So they're talking about Greek Gnosticism. They're talking about mysticism. It's Buddhism and Taoism.
It wasn't accidental. It wasn't accidental. Like I said, even going back to George Lucas, as much as he whiffed it later on, you know, he did know going into it, this is what I'm creating. Yeah. I'm creating a whole new mythology and I'm basing it on this. And
on
this
the
and
older this. Stuff.
Right, yeah. So he knew what he was doing. Right. He was very aware of it.
And even the concept of the Force, he didn't pull that out of his ass.
No.
I mean, they were talking about that in the 1800s. So it's chi, it's also orgon, and it's also vril.
Yeah.
It's that.
Which we discussed on our occult Nazism show.
Right, yeah.
If you want to listen to something about that. But yeah, same kind of thing. Vril.
Vril.
Yeah. And on that note, I guess we're almost out of time. So that'll wrap up our brief and rambling Star Wars discussion. It was a lot of fun.
This video with any of your Star Wars geek friends. And I would like to hear what they have to say about it.
Yeah, because I'm not really full of shit.
Because I'm not really in the Star Wars community. You know, like I'm not really in the Star Wars geek community. I just watch it.
Yeah, we just kind of watch it and talk about it with each other and like come up with new theories and shit. But anyway, like I said, hope you enjoyed the show. Just a reminder again, we still have t-shirts. I still have just the 5. I'm going to do other ones. It's www.zazzle.com/13o'clock. And if you like our show, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please like us on Facebook and Twitter at 13 o'clock podcast. And that'll do it for episode 17. May the Force be with you. I know that was gay. Bye.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network.